It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number's here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
All right. So, of course, you can bring up anything that you want. It's actually my first day back in the first chair here since this weekend. Aria, you headed up the show last night.
I did.
And Captain Kickass on Monday. And so I'm back. It's good to be back here. And it was a great 2 weeks in the woods in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. We had a great time. And I think I can speak for pretty much everybody I encountered. I mean, I didn't encounter anybody who was grumbling about X, Y, or Z. Like, there weren't people who were mad about some decision made by the board of directors of the Free State Project or whatever. It was actually a really good year, and we were there for both the Porcupine Freedom Festival and ForkFest. So I'm really happy about that. And hopefully we're going to be able to start promoting 2021 very, very soon. It's up in the air as to exactly what that's going to look like right now. And when I say that, I mean, it would be ideal if we could get on the same page with the Porcupine Freedom Festival people.
Yeah. Sure, but I mean, that can be difficult.
They can be slow. They can, and so they're supposed to be having some sort of a meeting this week. I spoke with Carla from the Free State Project today.
Right.
So.
The challenges are that people would rather go to a combination ForkFest Porkfest, or as I like to call it, ForkFest, mm-hmm. the way it used to be, and they would prefer to do that, apparently. The evidence seems to be clear on that one. However, if ForkFest is going to be running after ForkFest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, then you're basically turning it from a one-week event to a two-week event.
Yeah. And wasn't bad.
That's a good thing, in my opinion.
It wasn't bad this year.
No, it wasn't bad, but there were a lot of people there that were perhaps not attending ForkFest and just there camping. So, you know, it was... Yeah.
Well, maybe for the last day or two.
Yeah.
But, I mean, throughout the rest of it, it was pretty clear that people were there for ForkFest.
Would you say ForkFest was as large as it was last year during those few days before?
Well, we don't really know how large ForkFest was last year because we were leeching off the Porcupine Freedom Festival last year, you know?
Because
whether we meant to be or not, people
were
coming
ahead
in.
Of them, weren't we?
Yes.
But that's people not were leeching.
But they were there for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Some of them just came early to go ahead and set up.
Well, they could have had this year they could have had such an awesome time that they decided to stay after the Porcupine Freedom Festival into ForkFest.
Well, there are people who are still there.
Yes, I know.
As of yesterday. Yeah.
Some of them conscious.
I don't know how many of them.
So, I don't know. I mean, ForkFest shouldn't have to, shouldn't have to wait for the Porcupine Freedom Festival to make decisions, but I also want to respect, you know, what those people are doing, if possible. I'm not hostile towards them. I don't bear any ill will towards them. I was grateful to be able to be there during the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year. And so, I mean, there's no central control to ForkFest. Anyone who wants to can just go out and start promoting the thing. But since my job is sort of to promote the thing, that's what we do here, I want to make sure we're promoting the best thing, whatever the best situation might be. So Carla mentioned that she may want to move the Porcupine Freedom Festival to the week that ForkFest was this year, in which case I would hope that they keep their festival decentralized so that everyone can be there in the same week.
That would be a jerk move on their part, man.
Yeah, it would. If they lock down the park, you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they move their festival, then that doesn't matter as long as it's an open festival and anybody can attend.
I think it's a bad idea for the Porcupine Freedom Festival to do that because then they don't have the pavilion for July the 3rd or July the 4th or this year July the 2nd.
That's
July
because
the
that's
3rd.
Where they set up the fireworks right. show and the manager of the park or the owner of the park doesn't want to rent that facility while the fireworks are right. present there for yeah. whatever reason.
So their biggest days would be... So speakerless.
She may not realize that that's a potential restriction, so she's trying to talk to Crosby, who owns the park. And so I'm going to follow up with her about that on Friday, and we'll see how it goes.
That's all we can do.
Yeah. So anyway, ForkFest was great, and if you can make it next year, we'll look forward to seeing you then. Back into the world of mostly bad news in this crazy mask society, this medical authoritarian hellscape that we've once again returned to. There's news from the business section over at dnyuz.com about the rise of the cash-free future. Oh, yes, the propaganda continues to, you know, proselytize for cash-free transactions because the governments and the banks for a long time have been wanting people to stop using cash. They've been trying to incentivize people to use credit cards and debit cards and other so-called touchless payments.
The government has? I mean,
there's been a, you know, kind of a theory, the conspiracy theories for a long time that this has been a goal of governments, is to get people to stop using cash and get them to use trackable forms of spending.
I hear that. Like, I can see how the government could benefit. Mm-hmm. I just don't see any evidence that prior to the last couple months, that there was any effort on the part of the government, the United States government, certainly India, and you can point out a few other places where they've tried this. But the United States government doesn't seem to have cared whether or not you paid cash or whether or not you paid with a credit card. And some people want to just carry their debit card around with them, right? You know, they mm-hmm. go off to the club. They shove it in their bra strap or wherever, you know, their you know, whatever their bikini briefs, boxer strap or whatever. And they, off they go. Like they're hot plan. Pants.
I don't think Mark's been to a bar in a while.
Well, I've been to a bar, but not a dance club. Okay. And so, you know, then to swipe what they want to swipe. And then if the hobo around the corner asks them for money, you can just say, hey, I don't have any cash. And, you know, whatever it is that one does, mm-hmm. there's some advantages to not carrying cash. You don't have to stand there at the checkout line fumbling through your change purse.
For the government, the advantage is they get to know everything that you do. They get to watch every transaction that you make. And they get to
don't forget the loyalty cards at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Price Chopper will be happy to turn that over to the FBI should they come and ask.
Absolutely.
So they know what you're purchasing, even if you're using cash. In many cases,
so don't sign up for the rewards program.
That's certainly a possibility, but don't.
I mean, they're useless anyway.
You get a discount or whatever.
Sometimes you get a discount. And it's nice to get a discount. Everybody wants a discount.
I don't really care if the government knows that I'm buying, Macintosh apples instead of Florida Gala's. Oranges or whatever, right? Like, that kind of tracking doesn't really bug me, but everybody's got their own choice on that matter. So that's fine. And we're certainly not seeing news that the government is going to eliminate cash yet. They haven't made that announcement yet. But there's definitely a lot of propaganda out there, and more so now than ever before, because they had it before COVID. Like, there was every now and then, we read a story about, I think it was Visa, they were offering $10,000 to businesses who went cash-free. They wanted business owners to lead the way into this cash-free future, and I don't think that many businesses signed up with that, because why would you want to turn away customers, customers who are good customers who've paid with cash.
There's a few out there that only do cards, but they're rare. I mean,
they're less rare now, though. What happened during COVID was companies like, I believe, Chipotle was one of them.
Yeah,
went cash free. They went card only.
Wow.
And if you didn't have a card, well, they just don't want your money. They don't want your order.
Yeah, and they could do a variety of things to handle that. They didn't want to put those things in place. You know, they could put the money. People could put the money on a plate. It could go under a UV light. Any variety of things could happen. But they just don't want the cash for whatever reason. They don't want the cash, mind you. I think that's interesting that each one of these
can
bills
still cash.
That's true.
Well, and each one of these bills says legal for debts, public and private.
Yeah,
it does say that.
It's interesting that they would, cause you to have to pay in cash or not pay in cash when it's supposed to be legal for those debts.
So the interpretation on that is it is not a debt. You're buying a thing.
What if you go to a restaurant, you eat your meal, mm-hmm. and then you're preparing to leave? Is that not a debt?
That's a good argument there, too.
Yeah. Yes, I'm full of them.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We can talk about the future of money or whatever is on your mind. Plus, contact tracing has moved to the courtroom. One city issuing subpoenas to people to get them to squawk, basically. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free if you want to take control of the airwaves. The number here for you is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
And, of course, we've got the Discord call-in line rooms for now over at discord.lrn.fm.
What do you mean, for now?
I received a threatening message from the Discord administrators the other day.
Ooh. What are they unhappy about?
Well, they won't say exactly, as is
they never
as
do.
Is so common the case with corporations in the world of both media and banking. Quote, it has been brought to our attention that your server, lrn.fm, has been in violation of our terms of service. Specifically, your server has allowed or encouraged threats to users, targeted harassment, or incited violence against individuals or communities. So one of those three, at least, is what they are saying. We want to give you the opportunity to remove the content from your server. If the content is not removed promptly, your server may be deleted for violating our guidelines. Sincerely, Discord Trust and Safety Team. And I have...
So these guys thought that it was a good idea to send you some vague letter saying to remove some imaginary content that they won't tell you what it is?
That's right.
There probably is, especially in the toxic
user
room.
Somebody could find anything. First, somebody can find anything threatening. Secondly, you can be sure that one of the trollish denizens in this this Discord, somebody said something that somebody finds threatening. Absolutely.
I think of one guy in specific.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, and the fact that
I don't think it's a threatening. I think it's probably, what was the rest of it?
It was either allowed or encouraged threats to users, targeted harassment, or incited violence against individuals or communities. None of which I support.
No, I think it was probably that, though. I mean, we have people come in there all the time who are openly racist and who immediately get kicked to the toxic user room, but they're not usually... You know, police staff.
I mean, it's called the toxic user room.
That doesn't matter to Discord.
No, of course it doesn't. But what should matter to Discord is if they actually want you to do something instead of just parading around like they're pretending. Like, we're a bunch of social justice warriors that want to make sure that you act right and act just and pure and vigilant and you behave. Instead of doing that, just tell us what's wrong.
Yeah, and so
instead of this this obsequious obfuscation of the truth, this isn't even. I mean,
there's nothing here to act on.
No.
Right. This, my friends, I was born on a farm, and I know what the effluence of male bovine creatures is, and this is that.
Okay.
This is absolute BS.
That's the most eloquent I've ever heard someone be while describing that, Mark.
Right.
That's what I was about to say. That was really well stated.
Yes. And therefore, I would accuse the Discordians that sent this of being BSers.
So I did take the time to write to Discord, given that I, you know.
Sure.
Thanks for your vague and useless letter.
I'll get right
I
on
love
that.
Vague and useless letters. My God, I've printed it out and put it on my wall because this is among the vaguest and most useless letters I've ever received in my life. And I want to compliment your team on wasting both of our times.
Yeah.
So I've asked you. I've written to ask you, what in the F do you want from me rather than just having me run around and do stupid crap for you?
Now, mind you, given that I'm dealing with a corporation that was already not being very forthcoming, I wasn't expecting any miracles from writing them this email. But I went to their support page and I tried to find the best. You know, it's one of those things where you have to pick an option and then pick a sub option. And then, you know, you've got to choose between these options they give you. So I chose the one that was, in my opinion, the closest to the problem that I was having. They did not, of course, have one that was specific to the problem
I
was having. So I chose the one that was regarding, let's see, my account was banned by Discord's Trust and Safety Team, who was the people who signed the letter.
Your account was banned?
No.
Okay.
No, as I was explaining, Mark, I tried to pick the thing that was closest to what was actually happening to me, given that they did not actually have an option that was specific. Make sense?
Yes.
So I chose... Of the options they had, my account wasn't banned, but maybe since this is going to the Trust and Safety Team, maybe this will go to the right team and they could address my question. So I say to them, Hello, I was noticed that your server has allowed or encouraged threats to users, targeted harassment, or incited violence against individuals or communities, and I quote a little bit more, and I say, can you please specify which content is the violation? There are multiple rooms, and I don't read it all. Thank you. And then within a day, they did get back to me, and their response was the generic, hello, thanks for writing in. It looks like you're writing in to appeal your account being banned by Discord's trust and safety team. However,
so it's completely useless?
However, it doesn't look like the associated account with the email address you're writing in from has been banned, so there isn't anything we can do to help you here. Here are some resources to make sure your request makes it to the right place. And then they go on with just random crap that they put in to this cut and paste response email. So no, they didn't even bother to, you know, read the email that I had sent them or in any way assess, you know, actual intentions behind the email that I had sent them. So I wrote them back 3 days ago and explained that I chose the closest sounding option, gave them details about my server. You know, here's the name of the server. So they should have all the information now, and it's been 3 days. So I'm not expecting to get any kind of meaningful response from these people about this, and so it's only probably going to be a matter of time before some snitch gets the Discord server taken down.
And this is the way it always is with somebody else's property, OPP, other people's property.
We are working behind the scenes to create an alternative to Discord that will be hosted. That
can we have a report user button on ours too, where when somebody clicks it, it says "Shut up, snitch,"
or "Shut up, Karen."
That can probably be done, I suspect. So, for all the, you know, I don't know the point of all that was. Did I tell you about Divi? I don't think I did. The next generation wallet is coming from Divi. In just a few taps, you'll be able to spend, earn, store, and exchange digital money in seconds. Divi says you'll be able to send money around the globe in only a swipe and instantly exchange between Divi, Bitcoin, and fiat currencies like the dollar right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. There's no need to wait, though, as Divi already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with their multi-tiered masternodes, allowing anyone to earn by supporting the Divi network. When the new Divi wallet launches, because of their relationship with Western Union, Divi will be in 200 countries, including the United States. You can learn more at diviproject.org, D-I-V-I, project.org. So, yeah, Discord may be on its last 24 hours. It may go for another month before they pull the plug. Who knows? We have no idea how that's going to pan out. But it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fun little system.
I don't
system.
Know if fun is the word I would use.
I had fun with it. If I wasn't having fun with it, I would have shut it down.
Sure.
Previously. But, oh well, what can you do? It's free.
I'm just amazed at the idea that this is a platform that made its chops on allowing Noob Poner 69 to talk S to some kid across the country and then potentially swat him.
Yeah, that is what Discord did. It was a gaming chat app, basically, or live voice app for gamers that has become much, much larger. It's used by all the crypto people, like different crypto companies have Discords, and they're very, very, very big. So we got more to come
up
here.
But this is usually the, this is it, like the clearing of the throat before they kick you out. I've seen this before.
We warned them.
You know, the internet's full of this stuff, and this is it. It's the corporation's internet. You just live on it.
Yeah. Though there are other options, and we are exploring
those. We're working on them.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's free talk.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divi. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divi, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divi already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit diviproject.org. diviproject.org.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial in toll free here at 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Just as the internet is a global network that connects local networks, Intercoin is a global currency platform that enables communities around the world to issue and manage their own currencies. to circulate among their local population. Intercoin enables fintech innovation on the local community level, leading to stronger communities, greater sustainability, less poverty, and more productivity. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of our freedoms that are threatened on the internet and in meat space. We think that's important here on Free Talk Live, so we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Incorporated for advertising. If you think freedom's important too, check out Intercoin at intercoin.org. You can invest in this project and potentially make big gains or just be involved and perhaps shape its future. Intercoin.org. And we were talking about money earlier in the show before getting sidetracked, talking about terrible centralized corporations ruling over us and canceling things and all that nonsense. But we were talking about the death of cash, and it's once again in the news. We see these stories more often now than we did prior to COVID-19, but they're even more prevalent in the mainstream media now because of COVID-19, because of the paranoid response to it. And so people are afraid of cash, a lot of people now, and we're surrounded by these you know, people who are just doused constantly in fear. They're wearing masks everywhere they go.
Well, so, I hate carrying cash. It's bulky and awkward, and you have to actually have a thing that carries it. Like my cell phone case here has places for credit
cards. Yeah.
Has nowhere for cash.
Well, you could fold up a $100 bill and slide it in there, but then what do you do with the change?
Yeah.
One thing I'd say the upside is these point of sale, the point of sale companies that are going to benefit here. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the point of sale companies that are going to benefit here. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what point of sale is, a POS system, that does not mean piece of sale. It means point of sale. They allow a company to, you know, they track inventory, they know who paid with what, when they paid it, and all the information they need in order to sort of look at their books later. Mm-hmm. The point of sale companies handle the credit card interface and the Google Pay and the Apple Pay and the Samsung Pay and every other pay that's out there.
Well,
and
often
some of them include Bitcoin Cash and perhaps even Bitcoin. I don't know.
Like any pay.
There aren't very many, though, that have
cryptocurrency. Not in America, because America makes it very difficult. Regulations are very high here. But throughout Europe and in Japan, you can pay in Bitcoin Cash.
You can pay in Bitcoin Cash here.
I don't think regulations have an effect on what currency all right, is a then point of sale system can
I don't have
utilize.
Any reason. I don't have any idea why this is the case, all right?
The reason why is because Bitcoin is new. And these
then why are they doing it in Japan? The whole island, thousands of stores.
True.
Yes, it is.
The whole island. There were hardly any when I was there last year.
Then you didn't get the whole rundown. There's some point of sale company there that allows you to pay in Bitcoin Cash, and it allows.
I think that's a newer development than when I was visiting there. But at the time a year ago, there were some places that would take crypto, but not an overwhelming number of them. You still had to go out of your way, basically, to find one of them.
If you have to go out of your way, you've gone out of your way, right? So if there's tens of thousands of stores in Japan or hundreds of thousands and only thousands of them take Bitcoin Cash, you'd still have to go out of your way.
Yeah. But the point
is, because there's not just one monolithic point of sale
company.
That's
right. And so to answer your question as to why it hasn't happened, I mean, apparently it has happened at one company in Japan, and that sounds great. I also heard that there's one in Australia that is taking Bitcoin Cash on their payment system and that they're well installed in restaurants and such. I personally have not experienced it, but that's what I've heard.
Right.
So I have no reason to disbelieve it. But to answer your question as to why it has not happened to a large extent, the answer is simply because people in the world of cryptocurrency do not want to spend it.
Yeah.
Tragic. Yeah, well, it's short-sighted, and as a result, is tragic, because there are so many people who are into Bitcoin, but they're not into spending Bitcoin. In fact, many of them have never actually spent cryptocurrency in their lives.
Well, a person
who's acquired
into,
it and held it.
Bitcoin has gone through a rebranding and has now called themselves digital gold, right?
Well, I don't know if that's what they call themselves, but...
Some people call it that, but I mean, Bitcoin itself doesn't really call itself anything.
Okay, it's not a program. Well, there are people that are in control.
Yeah,
and those people are acting like that's a true statement.
They've been calling it a store of value,
right?
Specifically,
like gold,
likening it to a digital gold.
Right, and if you are likening your software project to gold, then you would expect to spend it like people spend gold, which is to say almost never.
I don't know, man.
Whereas
gold is coming back.
It is locally here, and I'd be happy to talk about that particular project. However, Bitcoin Cash, on the other hand, you know, has it right in its name that it is cash. It's a digital currency, and the intention is to spend it, spend and send and all that sort of thing. I had a transaction fee of $5 on a BTC Bitcoin transaction, and I'm not going to do that to buy a hamburger. I'm not going to raise the price of my hamburger $5.
No, that's insane.
But Bitcoin Cash, the transaction fee is like, if it's a fraction of a penny. So
yeah, it's usually like 268 Satoshis or something for the entire transaction.
That's not a meaningful number.
No, it's not. That's the point. I mean, it's negligible, right?
Right, but I don't even know how much that is.
It's nothing.
Okay.
It's what it is.
Right. Fractions of a penny?
Fractions of a fraction.
At this point, a penny costs 4 cents to produce.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. government is stupid, and
one
Bitcoin
penny.
Cash is not.
It's almost entirely made of zinc and clad in copper. I mean, it is the most useless of all our coinage, and the transaction fee was a fraction of that. So it is small.
Yeah. Yeah. So yesterday, Bitcoin Cash, let's see, according to a chart, excuse me, this isn't yesterday, this is over a four-day period. So July 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, so 4 or 5 days, approximately 15,000 transactions were registered on the Bitcoin Cash network globally. That's not an overwhelming number.
Agreed.
You know,
that's over a four-day period?
Over a 4 to 5 day period. So you're talking about 3,000 transactions per day on the entire Bitcoin Cash network. That's not buying. That's not necessarily buying things. That could be one wallet moving coins from one wallet to a second wallet that the same user owns. So we really don't know how much of that 3,000 transactions is actual purchases at businesses and that sort of thing. Bitcoin Cash is relatively well used in the Keene area, which happens to be a high sort of intensity zone for the option of using cryptocurrency. But even within the crypto community here, it can be a difficult thing to get people to want to actually spend their cryptocurrency, even when the activist is aware that it is a good idea for them to spend their crypto. They are still incentivized by other things in the marketplace, for instance.
Well, it seems hard to acquire, or
it
hard
is.
To acquire when it's not at a 10% premium or whatever.
That's right.
So to rebuy the crypto they're spending, they're basically paying 10% extra.
If they're buying it in the easiest way possible, which could be at a vending machine or something like that. So when you pay a significant markup on cryptocurrency, it is a disincentive to spend that crypto.
Yep.
But the only way to get the crypto without a decent markup is typically by buying it on an exchange, which requires a tremendous level of hoop jumping.
Or you can work for it, and companies can accept it.
Presuming you have someone who's willing to pay you in it. But we're already talking about...
But that's the chicken and the egg problem.
Well, right. Your question earlier was, why aren't point-of-sale systems implementing this? And the answer is because businesses aren't asking for it. If customers were asking businesses to take Bitcoin, you can better believe there would be businesses asking their point of sale providers, hey, I've got customers who want to pay with Bitcoin. How come you haven't added that yet? And if there were enough businesses demanding that, well, then certainly some of the point of sale providers would add that in as an option. But the market demand just isn't there for it. And I wish it were different, but unfortunately, there's certain economic laws that disincentivize people from spending the better money. They're more likely to want to spend cash. They know that cash, if they hold on to that, isn't going to benefit them in any shape, way, or form. It's not going to go up in value, while crypto has the chance. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm, and you can utilize those for now. They are free, so go to discord.lrn.fm, hop into one of those. You'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us tonight. It's Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
And we've been talking about the... the money system, the world of options out there, point of sales, why cryptocurrency like Bitcoin is basically being ignored by most point of sale systems out there. And I would posit that it's because they just haven't really been asked for it. Businesses don't really want to do it because their customers don't really want to spend it. They're not being asked.
When I ask people if they take Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash
at a business,
they mostly chuckle at me and don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ran into a girl the other day who was a cashier, a younger person, maybe in her early 20s. She'd never even heard of Bitcoin.
Right. I mean, these young people,
I couldn't believe it.
The claim is...
I thought everyone knew about Bitcoin's existence at this point.
You would think a younger person would be even more likely to know, yeah, as well.
Whether they know the ins and outs or how to get it or how to use it or any of that, but they would at least know that it is a thing that exists.
And that may be so. I don't know what young people should and shouldn't know, but I do know what older people say that younger people know, which is lots about computers. Mm-hmm. And I've just got to go ahead and call BS on this.
Yeah, they don't.
Because I've talked to a lot of young people and I've helped them with their computers.
Isn't and that sad?
That's scary.
You? Right.
Mark,
like,
you?
Like, think
Mark
about
doing
this.
That?
Of the three people in this room helping somebody with a computer, it's me. That's just
congratulations.
Shows what level of you know, like lack of
you're
rudimentary
no
knowledge they have.
You must be an intermediate now.
I probably am an intermediate, yes. I've probably been an intermediate for a long time. It's just that you're quite
I must
advanced.
Have rubbed off on you.
Yeah. That sounds disgusting.
Get your mind out of the gutter, son.
What? I've left a couple of jokes sitting on the table here that I haven't thrown out.
Let's go to the phones here. Charles is on the line in Alexandria, Virginia, listening online. Go ahead, Charles. Hello?
Hey, Free Talk Live. Thanks. Long-time listener.
Welcome.
Hey, I just want to let you guys know I'm a convicted felon. Mm. I was convicted when I was 18, so I lost my gun rights. But I recently found that... air-powered rifles and handguns are coming up very close to par with regular black powder firearms.
Yes.
I'm about to order a 16-round, fully automatic, 30-caliber air-powered rifle that can do a 16-round grouping at 50 yards at 2 inches.
So is the law then that you can't own a black powder firearm, but you can own an air rifle?
Yeah,
I can own, something that is not classified as a firearm, and air rifles are not classified as firearms. Also, if
that's
you
true,
look,
they do not fire.
So, are you saying this air rifle can blow a hole in somebody's chest?
Let me tell you, the power of that is about 40 to 50 foot pounds of energy per shot. So, if I hit you with 40 pounds of energy 16 times in a row. Within 2 inches on your body, yeah, it'll probably go. It will go through a car door. My understanding is it'll go through a car door.
Yeah, so I have a an air rifle that is.
Did you get some sort of dragon or something like that?
Yeah,
Mark?
Dragon Claw is what it's called, and it's a single shot. Right, you load it. It's a breech loaded.
Look up the Hot Son Blitz.
The Hot caliber. What?
Hot Son, HATSAN Blitz. BLITZ.
Yeah, I'll read this during the break. I'll read this in the break. Yeah, I've actually seen one similar to this. And I keep an eye on the different sites.
Badass looking.
Yeah, it looks like a bullpup.
They also have air-powered shotguns. They have 68 caliber pepper shot handguns that you can legally own because they're air-powered. So anybody
Sweet.
Who's lost their constitutional rights, if you believe in that type of thing, then you can still defend yourself air powered rifles.
That's $1,000 air rifle.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, if you bought a comparable firearm,
yeah, you're going to pay that
you're
much
gonna
for
pay
a gun like that.
Pretty close to that. Yeah.
A fully automatic rifle is a $25,000.
Oh, you said fully automatic. So this could go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is fully automatic.
This is an auto air rifle?
Right. I mean, that somehow, with all the other stipulations you made, I did not get the part about full auto.
Yeah, full auto.
And Damn. There's barely any recoil to this.
My 10-year-old nephew fired it on full auto for about 20 minutes one day, and he's 10 years old.
How does it hold enough air to fire on full auto for 20 minutes?
Well, it has a magazine with two 12-gram cartridges.
Yeah.
So you could fire about 100 rounds. So basically four magazine rounds for every two air cartridges. And they have a quick they have a speed loader where you can load 25 0.177 millimeter rounds in. Once you get good at it, I can do it in probably 10 seconds and have the magazine back in the gun ready to fire.
Okay.
And it fires at full auto and semi.
So without doing any reloads, you can fire 16 rounds, 16 30 caliber rounds through it in a second or two. Not too long.
It says here it does 1,000 rounds per minute.
Yeah, not a second or two. I'm talking like a half a second.
Okay. Quite quickly. So, and that would... So, have you used it yet? You have used it,
yeah.
Right?
You said his son fired.
Well, no, I'm going to order it. I bought a cheaper version. I bought one off Amazon for $150.
Yeah.
It looks and feels like a standard AR, but this one fires 0.17, the little round BBs.
Yeah.
But it fired 25 of them in under a half a second.
Say, a board? Have you fired it at say, a 1x10 or something like that?
My little nephew, he's a little bit, he's going to be a future Free Talk Live listener.
Uh-huh.
He fired it at their local stop sign, and it left it pretty damaged.
At the local what?
Stop sign.
Stop sign. So did it go through the stop sign?
No, it
okay.
didn't. But I wouldn't want to get hit 25 times in a row.
This is the $150.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get clear on it because I've been same here. I've been looking. I have this Dragon Claw, and this Dragon Claw will take down a deer. If it'll take down a deer, it'll take down a person. Now, mine is a single.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
That's right. A single. This is a single round breech loaded. You know, you got to do the whole thing every time. You better hit it if you're going to shoot at it.
That one's 700 pounds of force. If you look at some of the ammunition. Some of it's as big as your thumb, depending on how big you are. Like
right.
one thing.
It's a 50. This is a 50 caliber round, right? I mean, it's as big as a Desert Eagle, right?
Well, they have different grains, but they also have different grains.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I think this is amazing. I mean, can you just imagining growing up with something like this as a kid, right? Like you used to have the little pump pistol things
they also
back in the
have,
day.
If you search for it, you can find a full 100% automatic minigun. It's $3,600. It's air powered, but when I saw the video,
get up to a compressor.
I'm taking notes for home defense here, man. This is great.
At first, you start firing, the air compressor kicks on.
Well, at the end of the video, the TV that they were shooting at was on fire.
Wow!
So, there is a $3,600 air powered 177 minigun out there for anybody who wants.
What is the name of this thing? Because I need to look into
the minigun or the.
I know the specific air gun that he's talking about.
Okay, I've got that pulled up right here for you. It's called.
I think Ian found it as well.
Hot Sun Blitz Full Auto PCP air rifle.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, it is PCP, which is pre-charged, which means it doesn't use the 12-gram air cartridges. Mm-hmm. You actually use an air pump to pre-charge the gun.
Don't you use usually like a scuba tank?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the methods. Yeah.
Before we get off here, I just want to make sure that people are clear. When you said that a felon can't own a firearm, in most states, say a black powder pistol, or there's a variety of things that felons can own that would be considered collector's items. Again, I'm not a lawyer, and this is not legal advice, but my understanding is that the device either needs to have been made before 1899 or a replica thereof and not have standard ammunition readily available in the United States, meaning a black powder pistol with a wax seal on it that you could be carried in your pocket because it's not a firearm. And by the way, if felons were going to use legal firearms to rob liquor stores, you would be able to find all the stories out there of felons robbing liquor stores with black powder pistols because it's legal for them to carry them, but they don't. They rob them with modern handguns because felons that want to rob stores don't give a flip about your laws.
Thank you, Charles. Interesting call. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Cool to know that those options are out there for people that need them. And we got more coming up here on Free Talk Live. Hour 2 is next.
Maxwell. He was a runaway to rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet says, it's the grain. Third vet, she says, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loved it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour here. Toll-free number for you to take control of the airwaves, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Just got an update from one of the four people who was targeted a few weeks ago before we went to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, Fork Fest, in the woods in northern New Hampshire. We were at a local hangout that we call Keene Nightcap here in downtown Keene every Friday night. We've been protesting for the last 3 months the so-called lockdown stay-at-home order by His Excellency the Governor Chris Sununu here in New Hampshire. That's actually how he refers to himself in the orders that he writes. We've been protesting those on a weekly basis every Friday night at this nightcap event by going out and just hanging out in Central Square. And sometimes the group gets larger than 10 people, which is definitely a violation of the governor's orders, although somewhat
are those orders still standing?
That's a great question. I don't know. Excellent question. That's one worth doing a little bit of research on. I think the stay-at-home order is still in place, but I could be wrong. I've been away for 2 weeks, as you have as well. You and I didn't pay too close of attention to His Excellency and whatever claptrap was coming out of his mouth.
I would have assumed it would have gone away when the bars reopened anyway.
But they came. That's a great point. They came to finally threatened nightcap after 12 weeks. It was week number 12 when they showed up at 2:20 in the morning and started littering our cars with their unwanted trash, which they call tickets. And they say that there's some sort of town ordinance that says you can't park on Main Street or around Central Square after 2 a.m. every single day of the week because they need to bring a street sweeper out and do street sweeping type things, and so they don't want any cars there. That's the claim. Ultimately, I challenged the ticket that was left on the car that I was driving, and they dropped it. And now another guy who is, you know, he's not as well known, I would say, to the parking department has also attempted to challenge his ticket, and they dropped his ticket as well. So now
nice.
Two out of the four tickets have been dropped at this point.
Do we know what's happening with the other two? Do they intend to challenge them, or are they just...
I know for a fact that Lee, our Peakless Mountaineer, our co-host, is attempting to challenge, and okay. I don't know what Wes is doing. I suspect he's going to try to challenge it, but it's just good news that we have worn them down, I think, to some extent here with all of the activists.
Well, what is the fee? Like $15?
$15, yeah.
I mean, it's not worth it to them.
For all of the activists who have taken a parking ticket to trial, in fact, I think, Mark, you even did that at one time, didn't you? They kicked it out? They didn't
Yeah, I think
take
I took
it to
two. I think I took one, and then something happened, and I wasn't able to do the second one. But I now carry in my car a piece of paper signed and notarized that says that I do not suffer, allow, or permit anyone to park my car illegally. And the reason is I believe that it is a violation of the Constitution of the United States to put a parking ticket on somebody's car and just claim that they parked it there. And
because
if
it's under your name,
if
you're liable.
If they didn't park it there, that somehow they're responsible for it. Here in America, you're supposed to have to prove that somebody committed a crime before you punish them. And they can't prove that. Now, in the laws here in Keene, New Hampshire, it says very specifically you may not suffer, allow, or permit someone to park your car illegally. So I have a piece of paper signed and notarized. You know, I'm speaking legal mumbo jumbo to legal mumbo jumboists. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, who do you give this paper to?
Well, if I were to ever, it just sits in the car. Mm-hmm. It's moved from car to car. It's moved from several cars. It doesn't really matter. And
is the point that you would introduce it as evidence?
I would introduce
trial?
It in evidence, dated and from like 2012 or whenever this occurred. If I ever happened to get another ticket, and then they'd have then what do they do?
Didn't they drop the last?
Your Honor, I have clearly not suffered, allowed, or permitted anyone to park my car there. So now it is up to the prosecution to prove that I did in fact park the car there,
which they can't do.
Good luck, ladies and gentlemen. Because that's what I want to know. I want to know how in America do you convict somebody of doing something without having any proof that they did it?
Yeah, that's a great point. And if it were to come down to it, I think a lot of these ordinances are probably not constitutional at all. And if somebody bothered to actually do whatever legal wrangling would be required to challenge it in that way, they may actually have some success in overturning it. But most of these cities know that the average person is not going to challenge a parking ticket. They are going to pay it. And that's what they rely on. They rely on mass compliance. They rely on mass obedience. And they rely on mask compliance and mask obedience as well. It's all about volunteering into this system.
Well, that's what
extent.
It should be with masks. You should be able to volunteer. If you want to wear a mask, you should be able to do so.
Not sure. In New Jersey. The news breaking out of NBC New York, this just published today, that New Jersey is now extending their face mask mandate to include outdoors. New Jersey governor.
This just baffles me. Exactly what doctor is saying that this is a good idea?
Oh, I'm sure they've got one. He probably works for the state.
I just don't understand, because every time I hear things on the radio, on television, in person, it all says that it's about the viral load and the buildup in enclosed spaces. Mm. That's what would cause one to get it.
Well, you can never be too safe, Mark.
Well, I suppose that's the case. But if we could never be too safe, then why aren't we all just strapped in at our houses?
Well, don't give them any ideas.
They want.
Apparently.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, according to NBCNewYork.com, issued an executive order on Wednesday, requiring people to wear face masks outdoors when they can't socially distance, in addition to the existing rules for indoor masks. Certain exceptions apply. Kids under 2 don't have to wear them, and face coverings aren't required for people eating or drinking at an outdoor dining establishment. They're also excused in cases where mask wearing would inhibit health or safety. So they are saying
they're only saying social distancing
when
right?
You cannot socially distance.
Right. So
walking down a busy sidewalk, you're supposed to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, does that really count, because you're not there very long?
Yeah, it counts to them.
According to what we just read, it counts.
All right. So I'm just trying to think about how this applies, because yes, you're supposed to socially distance, but a mask is supposed to mitigate the social distancing. And these rules apply sort of double, inside as opposed to outside, and you know, these sorts of things. If you're outside, the chances of you getting viral load outside are insignificant.
Can we call it something else?
No.
Requiring masks outdoors is a step I had hoped we would not have to take, said Murphy on Wednesday, and continued saying, quote, by and large, New Jerseyans have been outstanding in their compliance, but unfortunately we've been seeing a backslide in compliance in New Jersey and across our nation, unquote.
That's because people are sick of this crap. It changes day to day. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's certainly no science to it. It's just people being told what to do and other people trying to socially pressure them into doing what they've been told to do, because nobody knows anything.
And that's how it's been working, and it's been working very well in places like, Philadelphia. We had a guy, Nick, who used to live here in Keene. He came up to Forkfest a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that in Philly, it's 95% compliance.
That's what I've been seeing lately here in Keene.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't seem that bad today when I was out and about, but you're downtown more often than I am, so you probably know.
Well, I went to Walmart. I hate going to Walmart anyway, but I went there Monday because sometimes you need something quickly that you can only get there. And I think I was the only person.
Not lawn darts.
Yeah. I think I was the only person in the building not wearing a mask.
Wow. Murphy said that an outdoor mask mandate at places like Jersey Shore boardwalks, while difficult to police, was necessary given the rising number of cases in most of the country. According to the story here, the state's transmission rate as of Wednesday is 1-to-1, meaning one sick person infects at least one other person. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo would say that level of transmission defines an outbreak. Studies show masks.
Oh, Andrew Cuomo knows. He's a real expert, right? forcing the nursing homes to take sick COVID patients. That's what caused a good portion of the deaths.
Masks are proven infection mitigators when worn correctly. However, I don't know if you've noticed, but people don't really wear these things correctly now, do they?
That's because they're uncomfortable.
And even if they do wear them correctly, they touch their faces constantly, which completely undoes any benefit of wearing the mask.
I wore my comfortable mask into the hospital. They made me put a mask on over it.
Wow. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. After spending the last 2 weeks in the woods in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, Aria, you and I and dozens of others were there, and we managed to get away from all of this mask insanity. You were there for a couple days, which was cool. But we were there for 2 full weeks, and it was awesome.
It's like 4 days, dude.
But we got away from all... No, I think you did one night and then a second night. I think that was
so there's
two
day,
nights.
Day before the night and the day after the night.
You might have been there for 48 hours in total. But, you know, it was something.
More than that.
People were glad.
I don't think he was there 48 hours.
People were glad to see you, Mark.
I'd be willing to bet.
When you did make your appearances, people were glad to see you.
But the first time you weren't there for 24 hours total.
Not even. No.
It was more like 18,
yeah,
I think. And the second time, I don't remember what time you came in. But you were gone pretty early the next day as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you two full days credit.
Thanks, Mr. Liberty, school crossing guard.
We managed to avoid all of this nonsense with the masks. There was very few people with masks at the campground. There were maybe 3 or 5 people there, or something like that, during the first week at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and I would say even fewer during the second week.
I don't think there were any during Fork Fest.
I feel like I saw somebody in the distance with a mask on towards the very end of the week when some of the average folks were coming into the park. But most of them didn't have masks on either. So it was a real refreshing change from living in mask world, where now in New Jersey, it's apparently going to be mandatory as of, I guess, today, that people must wear masks while in public in places in which they cannot, quote, socially distance. So, as you pointed out, a busy sidewalk would likely require somebody who was on that sidewalk to be wearing a mask. According to the story, let's see here, at NBCNewYork.com, the governor, Phil Murphy, is trying to talk down towards people who don't wear masks. They talk about studies showing that masks are proven infection mitigators. The governor says it's not about politics, as some national leaders have made it out to be. He says it's a matter of life and death, literally, both for mask wearers and those around them. New Jersey has already lost more than 15,400 people to the virus. The state is the nation's second most impacted COVID state, next to New York, reporting more than 174,000 COVID cases since early March as of Wednesday. Those sound like big, scary numbers, don't they?
They do, but it's all COVID cases that are being reported now. No one's talking about COVID deaths. And all indications are that the number of COVID deaths are in a sharp decline.
Yes, and also the
I've been obsessed with this page from the CDC.
Mark has this graph that he makes love to each night when he goes home. He doesn't want us to share that information here on the air, but
I do love this graph. And at this point, there is, ladies and gentlemen, no evidence. There is no evidence. There's no evidence of a resurgence, because you'd have to have a surgence in order to have a resurgence, of a resurgence of deaths in the United States. The highest amount of deaths was April the 11th. It appears as though The week ending June the 13th will be the last week that peaks up over the acceptable death range. Yes, the United States government does have an acceptable number of deaths that can occur in a given week. And by the way, they can be as high as about 60,000. And, you know, that's everything's fine.
Well, when you say acceptable, I think the more accurate term would just be normal. This number of people expected to die. Not that the United States government, as evil as it is like, okay, this number of deaths, this is accessible. This is acceptable. This is too many. It's just like, this is what we expect.
Oh, fine. I can tell you this. On January the 11th, 2020, it was completely, no one was worried about anything, and the number of people died was about 60,000. However, April the 11th, when everybody's screaming their heads off, the number of people who died was 79,000. So another 19,000. What is that? An additional 33% of deaths, I guess. Is that the right number? And, you know, the whole world's coming to an end.
Many of these people would have died anyway because they were already elderly and sick.
Well, that's the
sick.
Thing we don't know is that we do know that the average, what I believe it's the median age for death of COVID is 80. Right? Yeah. So 80-year-olds are closer to death than 30-year-olds. And if a bunch of 80-year-olds are dying, that would presumably mean that the numbers of deaths would diminish out in the future. So,
as the number of old people died?
That's right. Well, you can only die once.
That's right.
At this point. So when you die in April, on April the 11th, you can't die on October the 23rd.
But you can vote on November the 7th.
Indeed. Dead people, vote Democrat and vote often.
Well, if only 15,400 people in New Jersey have died so far, that is indeed higher than the rates in other states where it's like 2% of 1% of the population has died. In New Jersey, it's 17.4% of 1%. So it's still a fraction of a small fraction of the population in New Jersey who has actually died from COVID, if you believe the government's numbers.
Sure.
And I say there's no reason whatsoever to believe these numbers. They are inflated and they're not realistic at all.
But even if they are realistic, it's just absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
That states are being put through this over 17% of a percent.
Let's go to Gene, the Christian anarchist. He's on our Discord server. Go ahead, Gene.
Hey, next year I want Mark to start punching a time clock when he goes to Porkfest. I want to know the exact hours.
Yeah, this is really important stuff. And by the way, Ian pointed out how glad everybody was to see me. He didn't point out how glad anybody was to see his butt.
I'm sure everybody was glad to see everybody.
But
anyway,
they got to see Jazzy when they saw Ian, so yes. Everyone was happy to see Ian.
Everybody is happy to see Ian's dog.
Jazzy is always a star.
It's true.
Anyway, in our clinic now, we stand probably at a little bit more than 50 positive tests. Only one had to go to the hospital. All have fully recovered, you know, with the exception of the few that are still positive.
What are the age ranges of these 50 people?
They're mostly, you know, senior people like me.
So even, you know, with a bunch of seniors, you haven't had a problem with dying. Only one had to be hospitalized.
No.
Well,
people are. For the most part, here's how it normally runs, is the person will be sick for 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. and then they get well. And
so like any other flu or cold, basically.
Yep, exactly.
Now, and you've tested these people, right? You've actually used the government-approved COVID-19 tests on them to determine that they do, in fact?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've actually taken the test twice myself now, both.
Is it really
negative.
As awful as it's made out to be?
Well, they stick a thing up your nose. It's, you know,
it looks uncomfortable.
It does.
It's not nice. But a lot of our patients have had multiple tests, and they've had multiple positives. Like if they get a test 1 week and it's positive, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to come back in 14 days and get another test, and if that's positive, what I want to know is, are those considered two cases? Which I think they are. I think they're counting those as individual cases, even though it's the same person.
Right.
To test. So these numbers are fake. They're padded.
Totally. Stand by, Gene. I know you got more here. Gene, the Christian anarchist, is with us. giving us the inside scoop from inside a doctor's office down there in Tennessee. Is it as bad as they want you to believe it to be? He says no, and he's right there in the middle of it. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live.
News from news.bitcoin.com. BTC miners give off a signal of intending to sell. Does this mean a bear cycle? New Zealand police seize $91 million from a Russian exchange operator. Anti-crypto SEC head stepping down, making Bitcoin ETFs more likely. You can make money by referring people to exchange.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. As we continue here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Are you?
And Mark.
Bitcoin.com is available to those of you out there who want to learn some stuff. Maybe you want to learn the basics about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. Get on over to Bitcoin.com. You can do that there. Or if you're not so new, you're old school, you want to get the latest news headlines, they got that for you over on their news website at news.bitcoin.com. So get started at Bitcoin.com. As we continue here, we are discussing the state of New Jersey now mandating mask use outdoors in places where so-called social distancing is not possible. We got Gene the Christian Anarchist on the line. He's calling from Tennessee, and he works in a doctor's office as a manager of a practice. So you've seen a lot of patients so far. You said about 50 patients over the last few months. And of all those 50 patients, only one had to go to the hospital and since recovered. And most of your patients are elderly folks. But again, even for most elderly people, they're surviving this. It's the ones who are pretty messed up that are having the toughest time, right?
Or who are 80 freaking years old. Yeah.
That's what I mean. But no, 80-year-olds are surviving this. They have to be 80 and also like infirmed and like deathly ill in order to die from this. My understanding.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want to be 80 and get anything because, you know, you're already pretty weak. But the tests also, I would point out, have false positives. You know, every test out there, we do a lot of lab testing in our facility, and tests come back sometimes falsely positive. Doesn't matter which test we're talking about.
Well, the doctor that I went to just, I talked to him yesterday. He said he wasn't doing COVID tests because the false positive is too high. He's not bothering with it. You want him to do it, he'll do it for you. But they took blood from me a week ago for this thing, and they didn't bother running a COVID test on it. Because why bother? In his opinion, the test isn't worth it.
Well, plus then you might get one of these contact tracers on your butt after that. And then they'll start harassing you or harassing your family members or apparently threatening you with subpoenas. Now that's happening in some places.
So what are these contact tracers? Are these like government agents? Are they part of the FDA or the CDC or something?
I believe they are working for health departments.
And
like state
and,
or local.
And they're basically hired to police the interactions of people who have tested positive for COVID-19?
That's correct. We can talk more about that coming up here because I do have a story about that. But Gene, what else did you want to share?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about more about this testing because the testing has just gone crazy. We go to the hospital to take my wife in to see patients once in a while at the hospital. And usually when they were doing testing, there would be like 5 or 6 cars lined up. They were doing the testing outside in a tent. Well, now, because of all this accelerated testing, they had to move the tent to another area so that they had more room. And I took a video yesterday or day before yesterday of the cars lined up to take a test. And then I went back, played back my video and counted them. Those cars were lined up for 4 blocks. There were 122 cars lined up for their COVID test when there were normally like 5 or 6. So this is, I mean, it's just going crazy. And there are so many studies now out that show that hydrochloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc is the treatment of choice for COVID-19. It is very, very effective. There was one webpage I saw that listed over 50 tests or 50 different studies that showed this gives you a positive result. And over half of those tests or those studies were peer-reviewed studies. So the science is settled. If people like to say the science is settled on something, I think that's a false thing to say. I don't think you can ever say the science is settled.
Yeah, the whole point of science is to constantly challenge preconceived notions and theories and such.
But to all those people who like to say the science is settled on stupid things like global warming, I could say the science is settled on this hydrochloroquine. It is effective in treating this disease. So
then why are the media outlets panning it as a terrible idea? It's deadly, and it does nothing.
I can tell you exactly why, because the drug companies don't want you using this because it's cheap. They want to do research and come out with basically the same kind of medication that's protected by patent. So instead of being pennies for each pill, they can charge you $1,000 for a course of treatment. And that's the reason they're trying to attack hydrochloroquine.
I mean, it sounds right based on my experience with the medical and pharmaceutical industries. I mean, that is exactly the kind of thing they do.
Well, we see it all the time in the medical industry. We see effective treatments that are generic drugs, and they get run out. And, you know, all of a sudden, after using them for 50 years, the FDA says, oh, they're dangerous. Now you got to use this new drug that just came out that costs 1,000 times more.
Well, plus, if they can not only come out with some sort of new drug or vaccine or whatever, they can also get governments to mandate that people take it. You know, some sort of a mandatory vaccine system that may come about that a lot of people are I think, legitimately concerned may come about at some point, in which case then that'll mean big money, because then everybody will be forced to purchase this. And, of course, if they can't afford to buy it, they'll use welfare, and then the company will still collect on every single person.
One quick point for anybody who does test COVID-19 positive and they're concerned about this. Your doctor might not give you hydrochloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc unless you request it. Request.
Thank you for the suggestions, Gene, the Christian anarchist. Appreciate hearing from you as always there on our Discord server. Sounded great. By the way, discord.lrn.fm is how you can get over there and sound just like that when you're on the line with us. The governor of New Jersey has some more shaming to do. He has this to say: not wearing a mask is an act of selfishness, plain and simple. It's a sign that you think you're invincible, and damn everyone else. The time for selfishness ended back in March.
Okay, let's say he's correct. So, it's my right to be selfish. Damn everyone else. He's right. Damn everyone else.
So, let me ask you this. I'm not sure that the libertarian philosophy on viruses quite works out.
And I was saying this back in February, and I'm glad now suddenly everyone agrees that knowingly infecting with someone with the flu is a NAP violation. I'm glad that everyone suddenly agrees.
NAP is the non-aggression principle.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was laughed at when I said this back in February and January.
Not by me, you weren't. Because I think that this is one of the more interesting questions in the liberty sphere.
But knowingly is the key part of this.
I think you're right. But the difference with this virus is that there's at least some period of time that you have it that you don't know.
That's equally true of the
while
flu.
While you're shedding. How long?
Is the length of time relevant? Whether you're transmitting the disease to people for 1 day or 1 hour, you're still unknowingly transmitting it to people.
I agree. But that's part of the whole thing is that you're just not entirely sure.
Well, I do not know the incubation period the common cold.
We do agree that that knowingly spreading this virus
any virus
and potentially deadly virus is an aggression that violates the principles of liberty, right?
Right.
Okay, great. So for me, that is in and of itself an interesting point. And, you know, so
how far can I get away with being ignorant, though? So, like, for instance, I don't.
How far?
No. Like, I'll know if I get sick, right? Because I'm ill. I don't feel good. I mean, I know if I'm sick. But I don't know if I've got a cold. Maybe I've got a flu. I don't know.
You would take precautions not to infect other people, though.
I'm probably going to survive it. And so, I don't know if I would take any special precautions necessarily.
I mean, you wouldn't, like, sneeze on people.
No, certainly not on purpose.
And if you sneezed on your hand, you would wash it before you shook someone's hand or whatever.
But is it a, you know, is it a violation to leave my home and go shopping while I'm ill?
No.
Am I obligated to hire someone to do my shopping for me?
I would say, again, no.
So it's not necessarily aggression, you're saying, to go out and about?
Would be an aggression to knowingly take actions that will infect people with the disease that you are carrying.
Well, I don't know if they will, but they might. Like if I'm touching the pin pad at the, you know, the cash register. Well,
but if you sneeze on your hand and then immediately touch it, you go from might to certain. Right.
More coming up here in moments. 855-450-4. Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up what you want here. The number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have our Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. You can hop into those and you'll sound pretty great. On the air with us tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
And want to say thank you to Ala Loca, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. She is a contributor to the AMP program. $5 a month. It makes a difference for us when you do that. So thank you, Ala Loca, for helping us advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. Get on more radio stations around the country. Bring new internet listeners on board. Expose new people to the ideas of freedom, because sadly, there are no other options out there on broadcast radio that are principled voluntarist viewpoint like you find here on Free Talk Live. So thank you to Ala Loca and other amplifiers for supporting the show. You get some cool perks, you get some benefits from doing that. So go and get all the details, get signed up with any major credit card, and also we've got, of course, PayPal and Bitcoin BTC as sign up options at ampamp.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about cryptocurrency here, Bitcoin, acceptance, point of sale systems, and we're getting into the shaming on the part of the New Jersey governor, shaming people for not wearing masks, calling it an act of selfishness, plain and simple. He says it's a sign that you think you're invincible and damn everyone else. The time for selfishness ended back in March. Well, aren't the people selfish who want to protect themselves, and aren't the people wearing masks also selfish?
Yeah, but see, they have a mask over that basically allows them to pretend like they're concerned about
other people.
86-year-old grandma.
Right.
It's not for themselves. No, they're concerned about grandma.
Because it used to be you're trying to murder me if you go out without if you go out for no good reason without a mask or what, and not wash your hands or whatever the claim is. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, wash your hands. You know, now you want to murder grandma because the goalposts have moved. And it's not that I don't understand what people's concerns are. This virus is real. I wouldn't claim that it's not. But you've got to, I mean, life goes on, right? Like, we're going to have a life here, and we've got to figure out how we're going to deal with this virus. And if it's listening to every Chicken Little running around that the sky is falling every time they bring something up, because, you know, somebody just pointed out the Simpsons paradox. I was pointing out that this isn't the like Homer Simpson. This has to do with tracking and these sorts of things. Basically, in the United States, most of the deaths occurred in the Northeast at first, and very few were happening in Florida. But we had to lock down in Florida because people could come from the Northeast, right?
Yeah, they actually even put police checkpoints in at the state border.
Well, now people are dying in Florida and mm-hmm. Arizona and Texas. So we have to lock those down because people are dying there. But when they stop dying there and it moves to the next location in the United States, well, then we'll have to stay locked down in Florida because they could come back. Like, it never stops.
No.
It just never stops. When you give somebody your freedom, they will never stop taking it. Because you know why? The Chicken Littles, it cost them nothing. They didn't want to come out of their house in the first place.
They made money.
These people
during
are
this
absolute
crap.
Ridiculous introverts that are like, ah.
No, it's not that they're introverts, it's that they made more money sitting at home.
Right.
Collecting that $600 bonus unemployment check while the people who actually went out and continued to work made a third of that.
Right.
So let's take
but
for
they're
instance,
heroes.
Let's take for instance somebody who's makes
that's
$10
small consolation for me as I right. sit there watching these people sit at home making $850 right. a week in unemployment.
How much do they get normally let's say so $10 an hour they get make $10 an hour $40 that's $400, right?
Pre-tax, yeah.
And then additionally, they get $600 on top of that. So they can now get $1,000. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have to get paid pretty well. Now, I haven't been paid hourly in a long time, but you have to get paid pretty well to beat out this number. A person making $20 an hour, which seems like pretty good numbers to me. You know, I mean, it's not mm-hmm. a terrible job. Mm-hmm. This isn't slave labor or anything, right?
It's probably a skilled job of some sort for $20 an hour.
You know, not around here. You can get a warehouse job or a variety of different jobs I see advertised on the side of the road. They're advertising for people because they can't get somebody making $20 an hour. $20 an hour is $800 a week.
Still less than the welfare.
Right. It's still less.
Yeah. It comes out to a $25 hour a week wage.
Yeah. Yeah. You basically had to have been making $25 an hour in order to want to return
to
work.
It.
Yeah, to match. And who wants to return to work?
Because then you got
to
work.
Because then you have to work. And you're taking this risk.
You don't
risk.
Have the 40 hours anymore.
Everybody's taking the risk, right? Then you're taking this risk. So, you know, just this at some point, like, as soon as you stop, this is the problem with ever paying this this unemployment bonus in the first place. As soon as you stop paying that unemployment bonus, then the government's, the Trump is trying to kill the workers. The Democrats would have given you $1,200 for a year. We don't want work at all. Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, mind you, I don't want Donald Trump to win. I want Joe Jorgensen, the libertarian, to win. Mm. But at the very least, I can do math, and I won't lie to myself, and I won't lie to my friends about why it is I don't want to go to work or something.
So, Aria, you had asked about these trackers or these tracers, these COVID tracers, this new job that never existed before but now exists. And apparently the deal is if you get caught with COVID, if you go and get yourself tested and the word is you've got it, well, then you go on a list.
Sounds like a good reason not to get tested at
it's
all.
It's a great reason not to get tested. But for those poor bastards who did, well, then some investigators trying to follow up with them.
Did you recently receive an email from Google letting you know your location history for the last month?
No, but I know they have it.
I received it. It's a terrifying email. Mm-hmm. It's like, these are all the places you went during the last month. Mm-hmm. I assume it's in response to COVID-19, obviously.
No, because I've had that tracking on for a long time.
I know, but so have I, but I've never received an email.
No, I have.
About it.
Yes, I have.
Huh. Okay.
Not all the time. I mean, just every once in a while I'll get one. But, yeah, I looked at all of my movement in 2020, and I was all over the place.
After a woman in Rockland County, New York, the story from Washington Post, admitted to throwing her daughter a party while showing coronavirus symptoms, contact tracers sprung into action. They phoned dozens of guests, hoping to get the partygoers tested and isolated and stop an emerging virus cluster in its tracks.
Oh, no.
But many of the attendees hung up, handed the calls to their parents, or flat out lied, saying they never made it to the event on June 17th. Others never answered the phone at all.
Good for them, man.
So this week, county health officials tried a much more drastic approach. They issued subpoenas to 8 of the partygoers, ordering them to speak up to the disease detectives or face a fine of up to $2,000 per day.
Wow.
They subpoenaed people.
For what? For violating what law?
Well, that's the thing. A subpoena wouldn't necessarily have to be criminal, right?
We were just talking about parking tickets, and now it applies again. Aria, suppose I got in your car we went to the grocery, the convenience store to buy, things that people buy at convenience mm-hmm. stores. I then get out of your car and go back home, but I leave my phone in your car, and then you go to this rave, and then my phone is seen at the rave. These detectives, I'm sorry, I might be misusing the term. These detectives are claiming that a person is on site because their phone is on site. And while this is likely, this is not true.
They haven't proven it.
Right.
Circumstantial.
So go ahead and do some police work and prove I was on site before you bother me with your crap. I don't have to talk to anybody in America. I have the right to remain silent. And whomever this is talking about a fine for not talking to the cops, clearly doesn't understand what America is about.
Well, neither does the justice system. I mean, you saw what they did to Chelsea Manning when she refused to talk.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to point out here. And I'm not an attorney.
That was to a judge.
I'm not an attorney here, but... doesn't the Fifth Amendment only apply in criminal testimony?
Well, they're talking about putting somebody, locking somebody up.
I don't know if they are.
Well, if they don't pay the fine, won't they lock them up?
Probably.
That's what a fine is.
Usually.
You can't fine somebody. What's a civil fine?
Ed Day, the county health executive who issued these summonses or was somehow involved, says, "It's amazing how smart some people got. Everybody's complying and helping us, which is all that we're trying to have happen. We're not looking to be punitive here." But they will if they have to.
Yeah, they're not trying to be punitive. That's not. They just wanted $2,000 a day in fines.
That's
not punitive
not
at all.
Punitive. No, that's why they used a subpoena, which is a court order, right? That's a court order saying you have to show up, isn't it? Or is it that they are able to issue a subpoena without the approval of a judge at the county?
I can't see how you could issue a subpoena without a judge.
At the county health department in Rockland County, New York.
It had to have been signed by a judge.
After some people across the country rose up against the lockdown measures, ignored social distancing requirements, and declared war on face masks, Rockland County's unapologetic legal strategy shows just how difficult it may be to get Americans to comply with yet another government effort to fight the pandemic that has surged in recent weeks. We'll tell you more about this COVID tracing nonsense that is not going to get any better likely anytime soon. Are they going to be coming after you next? Hour number three is on the way. 855-450 free like freedom.
Scratching and losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to chicken. Another vet says, eat the grain. Third vet says, it's the weather. Then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
It took 2 weeks and the dog stopped itching. The hair stopped falling out. The Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. You dial in if you want to join us on the radio. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE LIKE FREEDOM. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms. Just head over to discord.lrn.fm, and you can jump into any one of those rooms. We will join you there, and you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us tonight. It's Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
We've been talking about the latest tactic that has been utilized now in Rockland County, New York, to get people to cooperate with these contact tracers. Apparently, there was a party that had been thrown in Rockland County back in June, apparently June 17th, and there were some guests at this party, some people in their early 20s, that did not want to talk. They hung up the phone when the contact tracers...
Surprise! Somebody doesn't want to talk to you.
Reached out to them, and they either wouldn't talk to them at all or flat out lied or whatever. And so county officials tried what they considered a more drastic approach. They issued subpoenas to 8 of the partygoers, ordering them to speak up to the disease detectives or face a fine of up to $2,000 per day. Now, I I'm not an attorney. I would love to know from somebody that actually is more familiar with the legal system here. Is, you know, I looked around. I couldn't find an example of this subpoena. They only issued 8 of them, right? So if the 8 people who received them didn't put them online,
sure,
then we won't get to see what they looked like. I mean, presumably you could do some sort of a Freedom of Information Act request against the bureaucracy, and maybe they would turn it over. That's a possibility. But for right now, we don't know exactly what these subpoenas said.
You know what concerns me about all of this? It's what we talked about at the very beginning of the show, with the move to credit cards, debit cards, and all of that, mm-hmm, combined with the supposed change shortage that is happening right now, where people are having a hard time, you know, getting coins, pushing people, because Americans hate rounding. It's why we've never gotten rid of the penny, right? Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The penny is absolutely ridiculous.
It is. But Americans will never get rid of it because Americans hate rounding up, or they hate rounding down. They just hate rounding in general. So they want their exact change back.
Mm-hmm. Even though they're going to leave it in a little bowl on the counter.
Yeah. Well, most of them won't. I mean, most of them will take it and put it in their pocket or whatever.
But then what do they do with the pennies?
They will put the. A candy bar costs
$1.25.
I don't know, but
when I get change,
it's a reason
gas station,
that people will.
I prefer, leave it there.
Yeah, it's a reason that people will prefer to use credit cards and debit cards if they won't get back their change.
How does that tie into contact tracing?
It makes it easier for government agents to contact trace because they don't have to ask the people. Mm-hmm. They just have to go to the businesses who they can already exert pressure on because the businesses have to have a license, right?
Well, in this case, some of these folks got given up by the other party attendees, so. Other attendees at the party snitched.
But what if the government agent could just skip that step and could just call the bar or whatever that people have been to and say, hey, I need a list of all the customers who were in your establishment. And we know that, you know, every customer who was there because they all had to use a debit card because no one has cash anymore.
Mm. So I know that in some government bureaucracies, they are given subpoena power and they're not courts. So that's why I'm wondering if actually there was a court involved. Right.
Congress can subpoena.
Right.
And they're not real. They're just a bunch of liars and thieves.
Well, none of these people are anything but liars and thieves. But there's certain, you know, processes. And I believe certain bureaucracies or certain Congress groups or whoever, there's certain people that are given the power to subpoena. Now, what does that actually mean? I don't know. Does it mean that you're obligated to speak to them or just show up in a place? And then, you know, anything that comes out of your mouth at that point is, I don't recall. So I don't know what sort of, you know, obligations that these subpoenas create upon people. But in this case, they accomplished their goal of scaring these folks, these eight victims of this system, into cooperating with these investigators. Because nobody wants to face $2,000 a day in fines, even if it's bunk. Even if it's just they're blowing hot air, it's a paper tiger, you know, they actually have no way of collecting the fines. So that's why I say I don't know any of the details on this, so I'd be curious to know, you know, what exactly, if you were to have been, if you received one of these threatening subpoenas that said, we, the Department of Public Health in Rockland County, New York, order you to appear, you must speak to this, you know, contact tracer, or else you'll get these fines, and you write them back and say, no thanks, or you just ignore it entirely, what did they have to do to collect that fine? And what happens if you don't pay it? I mean, I have a lot of questions that are unanswered about this. Let's just say that.
I imagine at some point they would just hit you with a failure to appear.
But it may not be court. So that's what I'm saying. This may be
gonna,
a subpoena.
I mean, they're going to do what they want.
Yeah, well, that much is true. But sometimes they can do what they want as long as no one challenges them.
True. Right.
And it's illegal what they're doing, but if no one challenges them, then it's by de facto legal.
For instance, Saipan, the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, where I spent 67 days earlier this year, is currently, as I understand it, I'm not on the ground there, but currently they are quarantining any American citizen, because you have to be an American citizen to step foot on this place right now. Mm-hmm. Any American citizen that is not a resident for 14 days on their own dollar at like $200 a day.
Whoa.
So you're talking about $3,000 for your quarantine time. Now, I don't know whether that gets you food and I don't know what that gets you. I know it gets you yard time, which is about the most disturbing part of this. I got yard time in prison.
Wow, I didn't realize that they were actually charging their quarantining victims. I thought
the government money ran out, so now what do you do?
Oh, so they were paying for it. So when Vin Armani was quarantined,
as I understand it, and
that was the government paying for that one.
That
right?
The government paid for that. Well, you know, the U.S. government did, because the CNMI is completely broke.
Yeah, they have no tourism now.
They are down to 20% of their previous GDP.
So, which wasn't that high to begin with.
No, it wasn't that high to begin with. You know, average yearly income of $15,000 a year. So, you know, not doing that great. And then they lock down like all the other Pacific Islands do. Mm-hmm. You know, they all did that. But, you know, the idea that you can lock somebody up for 14 days on their own dime and
that
charge them
seems illegal.
It's absolutely illegal. And the problem is that who are you going to get to hear the case?
I guess the federal government. In that case,
you know, I mean,
that would be a deprivation of rights lawsuit. Maybe
explain to me how this goes. So here I am. I'm in the airport. I am a resident myself. Mm-hmm. But if I wasn't a resident, I could say I'm not a resident and I will not go with you. So then they're going to use force on me.
Yes, they will.
Now, you're supposed to be able to use force against somebody who's using force against you illegally. Now, we don't know whether this is legal or not. The cops have said that their stuff is legal.
Cooperate with the police, and then you fight it out in court.
I hear you. Now, do I get more because they used force on me? How much money am I going to get?
Probably not much. You'd have to countersue.
Well, if I countersued, how much money would I get?
I don't know.
You've done this more than
I've
I have.
I've never countersued on anything.
You have. Well, how did you get money from the town of Gardner, Mass?
That was a settlement. It was Palmer, Massachusetts.
Palmer?
They settled the case.
Okay.
So, no, there was no countersuit there.
Well, they can't afford to pay anything anyway.
They did afford to pay that one, though. They paid it right out.
I didn't mean Palmer, Massachusetts. I meant Saipan.
Oh, CNMI, yeah.
Yeah, CNMI.
Well, Ed Day, county executive over at the New York county in question here, Rockland County, New York, said that everybody's complying and helping us, which is all we're trying to have happen. We're not looking to be punitive here, but you are looking to be punitive. That's why you issued punitive measures in order to get people, or threats, in order to get them to respond. According to the story at the Washington Post, after some people rose up against lockdown measures, Rockland County's unapologetic legal strategy shows how difficult it might be to get Americans to comply with another government effort to fight the pandemic.
Right. I think Americans are sick of this. I get it that there's some people out there that are really excited about the whole lockdown thing because they get extra government money.
Isn't that coming to a stop?
Yeah, it's coming to a stop. And then what are they going to do?
The lockdown, you mean?
No, the
extra government money.
The extra unemployment.
Orange man stole our money that he gave us.
As the Washington Post has reported, many officials say the most effective way to curb the spread of the virus, short of another economic shutdown, because that worked so well, is to conduct extensive contact tracing, informing people who may have been exposed, getting them tested, and quarantining those who are sick. They maintain can curb emerging outbreaks without putting even more Americans out of work. So
the problem here is that in China, you can weld somebody's door shut and nobody can say anything against the party. In America, we have rights. We have habeas corpus. You can't do this crap.
855-450 free. You can join us on. This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. And if you thought the government was up in your business already, well, wait till you meet the contact tracers. These are the busy, busy bureaucrats whose job it is to figure out where you've gone, who you've talked to, what you've been doing, and then harass every single person that you've hung out with.
They're just following orders, Ian.
That's exactly what they're doing, according to...
I kind of look at them like census workers, because they're collecting data, and they're trying to use it for what they consider to be good causes, and I would generally say it is, right? Like, if what I have to deal with is contact tracing, rather than having every pizza restaurant in my town shut down, I would take contact tracing, if that was my choice.
Meaning you would answer their questions obediently and do what they told you?
If that was my choice, was between those two, I would take the one over the other. However, they have a difficult time here in America because they're functioning as a law enforcement officer. They're at least functioning as denizens of the as workers for the states, minions of the state. And you don't have to answer minions of the state.
I wouldn't think you did, but they're issuing subpoenas.
And so this is, I'm sure that
But can you show up and just say, I don't answer questions?
If the United States Census could hand out subpoenas, they would too.
Or I don't recall.
Yeah. Or my eyes were shut the entire time.
Right. So I think that I don't consider these people to be a terrible threat. I consider them to be government busybodies.
That makes them a threat, though.
Yeah, they're a
threat.
They're
busybodies and they're looking for something to do to justify the existence of their position.
They're threatening people with $2,000 a day fines.
What has the census done in the last 60 years that has harmed Americans?
They've wasted my
time. Wasting time.
Okay, well, fine. So they wasted your time.
And they threaten people.
Government does that.
Can I send them an invoice for that?
And they threaten you.
Go right ahead.
There's
them
threats
an invoice.
Attached.
The reason you don't send them invoices is because you don't think they'll get paid. But if enough people sent them invoices, perhaps they would stop bothering people. So go ahead. By all means, send them an invoice.
Well, I expect them to continue to bother me, and I recorded video of them 10 years ago, and I'm sure they'll be coming back at some point.
They'll send some minimum wage peon.
No, they pay more than minimum wage.
To your door.
They pay
to hassle
well
you.
Over.
Whatever. I don't care.
Wage.
I mean, they are. It isn't much more than minimum wage.
I don't think it's better than the welfare check, but they're still paying better than than minimum.
I mean, how much hassling do they actually do? I mean, you can just tell them to get off your property.
And they do.
Yeah. There's not much they can do.
That's what I mean is regarding these...
But it's still a waste of time.
But they do threaten you. I mean, the census documents that they send around have threats on them. They say if you don't answer, then you could be subject to this and that and criminal penalties and
response is required by law.
Yeah, well, you write on it, send in the cops, and you mail it back on their own dime.
I just throw it into the trash. Just, that's too much trouble,
right,
man.
I put it in the shredder. But let me share a little bit more from this story about the contact tracers.
I do that, like to call people that sort of talk to you about what the law is and what the punishments are for the law. I do like to just tell them, "We'll call the law." Call them, because they won't. Right? They just want you to comply.
That's
hey,
I
learned a little bit about the law, and I want you to comply with it. My wife got scolded by one of these busybodies at the grocery store yesterday. She was walking down the wrong way on the aisle.
Oh, really?
She was wearing a mask and walked the wrong way. He said, "You're going the wrong way." She said, I can't remember.
No, your arrow is pointed the wrong way.
And you know, he said something, and she's like, "What? People are passing you all the time. It doesn't matter
which direction
somebody passes you.
Right.
It's just like somebody painted an arrow on the floor, and suddenly compliant America has decided that it's an important issue."
Isn't it amazing that people will follow them, though?
Yeah.
Just because there's an arrow on the ground, they are like trained like rats.
And this is the part that I don't get is like, suppose a quarter way down the aisle is what I want. But I'm in the wrong aisle. So it's the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go down the other aisle.
All
the way down and then all the way back.
Yeah.
I have to go two full aisles in order to get to the quarter of an aisle that I wanted to go.
Stupid.
If you were
a compliant sucker, that's what you would do. I have to wonder, though, Mark, what would have happened? Did you say it was another customer who shamed
her? It was his customer.
Okay, so
I want to know what would happen is, F off! Shut your mouth, you bleeding... You know, whatever it is that you say, just cuss them out so thoroughly that their hair's on fire, their eyebrows are singed.
I don't know that that's just the best way to handle
it. I'm not claiming it's nice. When you start dealing with somebody who's overstepping their bounds, nice may not be the way to deal with it.
Is it really overstepping their bounds to just say, hey, you're going against
the
directional arrows?
And don't talk to me. You don't have any business talking to me. You're filling the air with more of your stinking virus. Shut up.
You don't have a right to not be spoken at by people.
I don't have that right, but I do have the right to scream back at them.
Yes, it's just not nice.
And I would have the right to throw you out of my store.
At this point.
I would have the right to throw you out of my store.
If you're screaming at my customers. You don't have a store.
If you're screaming at my customers, I have the right to throw you out of the store.
This man was looking at my crotch while
you don't have a right to make a scene.
Accosted me.
I'm saying you do not have a right to make a scene on someone else's private property. You can try it, but they have the right to boot you out.
If he has a scene made, he may very well not have that sort of thing happen again. The customer who's bothering you about going the wrong way.
Maybe
I don't care about the store owner.
But that person
didn't make
the scene.
The store owner can pound salt. My money or don't you want my money?
They wouldn't because
there are four grocery stores in town.
I don't
care.
I don't want some shouting lunatic in my store difficult for my customers.
I don't care.
Right. Then you're out.
Yes, but if all four grocery stores...
Then you got no more groceries. Then what?
I'll see how it goes the first time.
Okay.
Here's what I was going to ask about.
Be sure you get video of you being a jackass at the Shaw's down here.
Yeah. Actually, Shaw's closed. We used to have a Shaw's in Keene. They don't exist here.
What I tell them is just call the law.
Grocery shops. I don't know which ones.
Call the government and fix this problem. Because that's clearly what they're worried about.
Okay. So here's what I wanted to ask, though, was you had said your wife was wearing a mask at the time.
Sure.
So I wonder if she weren't wearing a mask, would the masked other customer have spoken to her in the way that he did?
I don't propose that she even I don't know if he had a mask at this point.
I'm going to presume that he did if he was asking her to go in the right direction and was another customer. I mean, it almost seems certain that he was wearing a mask. Let's presume that he was. But regardless, whether he was wearing a mask.
I think it's a safe bet this person was.
Whether he was wearing a mask or not, I think that this person, and again, we don't get to compare realities, right? So we don't know what would have happened if she wasn't wearing a mask. But if she wasn't wearing a mask, that may have signaled to the other customer that she's one of those troubled people who, you know, doesn't wear masks. I shouldn't talk to her. She may, you know, freak out on me or whatever. But if she's wearing a mask, then that conveys the sort of suggestion that she's a compliant person. She's one of you. She's one of the masked people.
Yeah, and maybe she just didn't know she was going.
Right, she didn't realize, so I'm going to do her the favor and just let her know, hey, masked person.
That's
hey, my
not
fellow
what New England's
person.
Like. New England is like a bunch of people who think they know better than you. These people that think that your degree from Harvard makes you a better individual.
But has anyone said anything to you while not wearing a mask, while you weren't wearing a mask in a store?
No one said anything to me, period.
I've not had it happen to me yet either. The only
but
time
I can tell
anyone
you this,
has said anything.
I'm a 6 foot tall guy with a
true.
You know muscular build. They're
true,
not
true.
Going to tell me that.
That's a good point.
I could break his skinny neck.
In my case.
Jesus Christ, Mark.
Yeah. In my case, I've only had one entity say it to me, and that was Citizens Bank, who offered me a mask when I came in there and told me that if I didn't take the mask, they would not serve me. And I walked out and I said, no, thanks. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'll go somewhere else. But that's the only time that's happened in 3 months to me. 855-450-FREE.
I like the masks.
855-450-3733. I don't like them. I think they're anti-human.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in Liberty. And property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll free number for you, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about this new government role of investigator called a contact tracer. They're now issuing subpoenas to people in a New York County, Rockland County, about this. Folks who weren't voluntarily cooperating are now under the threat of government action of $2,000 a day in fines if they don't cooperate. But I have to wonder what would happen if you actually said screw you or refused to answer their questions or whatever. What obligation do you actually have to these people if you indeed have the right to remain silent?
There's also the fact that this contact tracing mechanism, all of this framework that they're going to have in place, they can use it for whatever purpose they want going forward, even if there's no COVID-19.
Are you saying the government?
You're one of those anarchists? Well, we need to find out your circle of friends, and that way we can get all of them at once.
Yeah, once this is implemented, there's nothing that stops them from using it for whatever they want to use it for.
That's right.
And ladies and gentlemen, remember Edward Snowden corroborated, you know, proved true all of these things that were just considered wild conspiracy theories by
everyone
privacy
but
nuts.
Libertarians.
Right. And it's just, I mean, obviously they're going to use this for other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we caught this drug dealer over here on this street. Well, let's find out every single person he's been in contact with over
the
last 3 months.
They'll tell you a little bit more here about the story from the Washington Post. They say this kind of detective work comes with a heavy logistical burden. State and local governments have to hire and train tens of thousands of tracers, act fast to keep up with a highly contagious virus, because, you know, government's so good at doing things quickly, overcome government mistrust and privacy concerns, and find money in there. Already
not address the concerns, just overcome them.
Cash strapped. Well, that's what they did with the threats, right? Okay, well, you won't talk to us? Well, here's a $2,000 a day fine. Overcome. In their already cash-strapped budgets to fund it all. It may become even harder as Americans increasingly get fed up with quarantining or act in plain defiance of public health guidelines. In Tuscaloosa, Alabama, for example, officials said this week that college students have been organizing COVID parties where the attendees compete to see who can catch the virus first from a sick partygoer.
You know, boy, does that sound ever so much like a 4chan thing.
Yeah, it sounds like BS.
That's the most American thing ever, though, man.
Right. You know, people.
I have no doubt that there are college students in Alabama doing that.
People handing out MDMA to trick-or-treaters because they want
to
hand out expensive drugs to eight-year-olds.
Right.
Right.
$20 a pill.
Sounds like a bunch of crap.
Let's go to Jason in Arizona. He's listening to K-Tox. Jason, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to let you guys know that I've confirmed it from Florida all the way to California that these tests are a DNA test to type the next virus that's going to come out.
The what? The next virus?
That's what they're typing. Well, we don't know that yet because they're trying to get the DNA to figure out how they can bowling pin the rest of civilization. Sorry, I apologize. I've been up a lot. So,
okay, you think that they are cooking up a new virus and that they need to test people for the current virus to somehow snag their DNA and that's going to help them?
The current virus didn't work. I mean, granted, it scares enough people.
Mm-hmm.
But
it wasn't like a real pandemic. Like people weren't dying left and right.
No.
But why would they need to use?
If this was a plandemic, it was poorly planned.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I don't know if they really need to do that, Jason. They've got a ton of
intellectual. That's the intellectual portion of it. They're swabbing everybody for their DNA.
Yeah, I mean, they already have a ton of DNA on file. So I don't know if what you're saying really holds up to scrutiny. I mean, there's already companies that are getting people to voluntarily submit millions and millions of samples of DNA. I mean, there's
a ton. 23andMe and all these others. They have programs to give that information
everybody
to the FBI.
Who's been in prison since like 1993.
They've been swabbed, right?
They've got all that information on them.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what this is really all about.
It is because the people that they throw in jail, they automatic DNA. DNA. I don't care. I mean, as long as it's a felony, and that's the only way they got to pass it before. Now they're saying, oh, we need to swab you for a disease that you don't have, or you come up positive or whatever, but you didn't get sick. And now they're just taking your DNA to splice that into the genome of the virus.
Well, I don't know enough about DNA to say if what you just said there is actually even possible, but thank you for the suggestion, Jason. I appreciate hearing from you. And maybe he's right. You know, maybe this is just a cover for a mass DNA collection, but I don't know if there's any evidence for the claim.
I mean, there are certainly easier ways that the government could go about it. I mean, if they just asked everybody, hey, we need your DNA so that we can protect you from a disease.
They'd
almost
line
every
up.
Yeah.
They'd line up.
It's overkill.
Yeah,
if that is their intention.
A couple of lines in a memo of Hokum asking people to give their DNA to stop COVID, then they'd line up.
Yeah.
If you're going to vote for Joe Biden, we'd like your DNA. There it is.
After officials found out about the party in the hamlet of West Nyack involving between 50 and 100 people, 9 guests tested positive for the virus. More large gatherings followed in a nearby town, and local officials have not publicly identified anyone involved.
If this is a party to spread COVID, as they just sort of alluded to, they didn't say it.
Mm-mm.
They said that college kids are having COVID parties.
In Alabama. This was in New York.
But if this was the case, 100 people were there and 9 of them got it. It's a pretty bad COVID party, right? I mean,
meaning it wasn't successful.
Apparently, they weren't French kissing the right people.
Patricia Schnabel-Ruppert, Rockland County's health commissioner, said contact tracers could not get most of the partygoers, many of them young adults in their 20s, to answer the most basic questions on the phone. She said, quote, my staff has been told that a person does not wish to or have to speak to my disease investigators. They hang up. They deny being at the party, even though we have their names from other party attendees.
We have your name!
As Day, the county executive...
Apparently, they've got their names from other attendees, so what's the big deal?
They threatened to issue the subpoenas, added he would not allow, quote, ignorance, stupidity, or obstinance, unquote, to get in the way of the county's coronavirus response.
But will he allow people's rights to get in the way?
That's the question.
Doesn't sound like it. Only a handful of residents remain hospitalized as of Thursday after the hard-hit New York City area, I guess Rockland County is about 30 miles north of there. More than 13,600 people tested positive for the virus, and nearly 670 have died. But now the number of new infections reported each day have dropped to the single digits, according to the data. As that figure started to increase this week, worried authorities offered a stern warning. Day said, quote, "If you get in the way of a health department investigation, we will take every step necessary to ensure we respond appropriately, and we're talking a serious response."
Screw that guy.
Look, don't you care about old people?
But whatever,
I care about my grandmother, sure. I would advise my grandmother to stay the hell at home.
Well, this is the thing.
Because she's 80-something years old.
Right. So, I mean, you know, we've already offered to pick up groceries for people who are, you know, sick or whatever. Well, not sick, but, you know, that they're self-quarantining. We have a neighbor down the street, and we take care of that. Mm-hmm. If there's not that many 80-year-olds, and there's a lot more people in their 40s, for instance. So adopt one of these people, leave groceries on their doorstep or whatever, let them come out and get them at their own time, wipe them off with sanitary wipes, whatever they need to do. But your health is your responsibility, not mine. And that, I think, is the lesson that we need to take here is that nobody walking around is responsible for your health.
My favorite, I don't know if it's a meme or whatever, but statement about this is, your rights or my rights don't end where your fear begins. I think that's one of the most poignant statements about this. Like, hey, look, you have fear. That should not affect my life.
It's too bad the fearful don't agree.
Nope. They are scared and they will use violence if necessary to enforce their viewpoint on you. 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number. 855-450-3733.
Scared animals are the most dangerous animals.
Oh, yeah. 855-450-FREE is the number. You got time to get on with us in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live that are coming up. If we get the chance, we'll tell you about an illegal desert rave that happened actually near Vegas. It's Free Talk Live. Moments remain here. Enough time for you if you join us now on our toll-free lines at 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live brought to you by AnyPay. You want to start taking cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin SV or Dash at your local business? You can do that easily by downloading the AnyPay Cash Register app. You can just go to the Google or Apple app stores, search for AnyPay Cash Register, and grab the app, get it set up. And when I say get it set up, I mean install it, put in your cryptocurrency wallet addresses in the back end, and you're ready to go. I mean, that's basically all there is to it. I do recommend creating an account as well. You can do it without creating an account, but it's best to have one of those. But they give you options when it comes to the AnyPay Cash Register app. You literally can just open the thing up and just get right rolling by just dropping in one crypto address and you're ready to go. Or take an extra moment, create the account, set up multiple crypto addresses, and you're talking about maybe a 10-minute setup time. I mean, it is super easy to get cryptocurrency acceptance going at your point of sale, at your business, whether you have a brick and mortar place or you come to your customers and provide them with some sort of a service, you know, like you're a plumber or electrician or something like that, and you want to take it through your smartphone, you can easily do that with the AnyPay Cash Register app. Go download it from the Google or Apple app stores or visit them online at AnyPayInc.com, AnyPayInc.com to your phone calls and thoughts. KTOX listener CW is on the line in Arizona. Go ahead, CW.
Hey, I've been hearing a lot of talk around here since we have crop dusters and all. And I was just wondering when they, instead of getting a vaccine, if they develop some sort of way to kill this actual virus, if they just start cropping areas, you know, just start dusting everything.
I think that their biggest concern is an infected person indoors without a mask. And the crop dusters are going to have a hell of a time doing handling that part.
Yeah, but if it's small enough to get through air filters, then, you know, It'll penetrate into AC units. It'll just penetrate everywhere. I know it sounds controversial, but what are your thoughts on it? I mean, would you agree?
Didn't China do something similar to this? I know there was that former Chinese doctor who was here in the United States sharing video from people who
they do crop dusting.
They didn't do crop dusting, but they went around with these fire extinguisher like things, just
spraying people. Yeah,
this crap everywhere. One assumes it was some sort of disinfectant,
right?
Yeah, God knows what that stuff was. I remember seeing a video that early on. They were just spraying people down as they were exiting an airplane with, again, who knows what this chemical is.
On Free Talk Live, we're about voluntary solutions, so we recommend you getting your pilot's license and just spraying whatever the hell you want out of those crop dusters.
Exactly, because you know a lot of people are going to refuse this injection, you know, go into hiding. So, I mean, come on, let's just get to the point, just saturate everything, and it might work.
I'm not going into hiding, and I'm also not getting an injection.
But what do you do about a plane flying over and blasting you with whatever that
this
is?
This happened in Florida.
Malathion.
Hey,
I'm just glad I made a bunch of people laugh, and
thanks,
I'm laughing my ass off.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call.
So, I mean, but... Strange, but true. So in Florida, when we were younger, they sent out notices. They were very
thorough. It must have been 20 years ago.
That they were going to spray malathion. And I can't remember what it was for. Was it for like tsetse flies or citrus canker?
It was some sort of citrus thing.
And whatever it was, they were like, you know, wash your car right afterwards. You know, don't be out for between this hour and this hour. They did early in the morning, and they just flew over every square inch of Manatee and Sarasota counties, and you know, spraying this stuff down. And
what was the point of this?
Yeah, let's see.
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think it was for mosquitoes.
Fruit flies. The fruit Mediterranean flies. Fruit fly. The story goes back to July of 1997. So more than 20 years ago. So I remember this stuff. Like, it was on things when you came outside.
It was goopy.
It was obvious.
It was
going to
ruin the paint
sprayed.
In your car if you didn't get rid of it.
What about the paint on your houses?
Well, mostly that's on the side. I mean, you're less likely to hit it. So it's the asphalt shingle or whatever. Okay. The rain should take care of the metal roofing.
Let's continue here. We have James Madison calling from Arizona, supposedly listening to K-Talks. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, really, it is K-Talks here.
Welcome, sir.
At any rate.
I'm glad we're back on, by the way, five nights a week there on K-Talks.
Okay, yeah, and I'm not affiliated with them, but they, you know, I just listened to that show.
Yeah.
The face mask. I have not worn one. I wear it when I pull weeds and, you know, do brush, things like that, cut lumber. But I have not worn one out in public, and I will not wear one.
Excellent. Me neither.
They call them face diapers.
Really? That's the first I've heard of that.
Well, they don't catch the crap that comes out of people's mouths.
So, okay, they don't work, period. If you're not wearing at least N95, they're useless. It's mosquitoes going through a chain link fence. Mm. They're not useful at all.
It's just for show, is what you're saying. That this is all just a big show.
Well, the idea, to be fair, and I'm no mask advocate, but the idea isn't to catch, you know, little microscopic viral particles. It's to catch the spit that people, you know, throw out of their mouths when they speak and when they breathe. And the holes are small enough to catch the bulk of that.
Yes, to a degree. But if it's N95...
That's the point of them. And they're not supposed to protect the person wearing the mask. They're supposed to protect the people around the wearer of the mask.
Now, look, I'm at the risk age, but I don't care. This isn't about me. This is about my descendants, freedom, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So... if I was to go to an old folks home, you know, nursing home, something like that, I would definitely be very careful around those people.
Yeah.
I would wear a mask. I would do whatever. But if you're 40 years old or younger, the chances of dying from it or even getting morbidity are as close to zero as you can get from all that I've read.
Those 2 points are unrelated, though. I mean, those 2 points are unrelated. The age of you going into a nursing home is not going to have any distinction for the people there, right? Those are two different things you're discussing because, again, I want to bring it back to the point that the mask is not supposed to protect the person wearing the mask.
Well, you know, they go both ways. They play that both ways, depending on how the wind's blowing.
Well, ignorant.
Hold on, Aria. So if I go into an old folks' home, this is like going into a beehive and killing off their queen. I went to their house, right? If I go to an old folks home, it's their house. I should follow their rules. However, I go out in public.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying it doesn't matter if you go to their house when you're 70 years old or 20 years old.
It doesn't matter what your age is.
Right. I'm not really articulating this very well. What I'm trying to say is that we should be careful around people that have underlying conditions, which is old age, mm-hmm. you know, obesity, just different things like that, you know, some kinds of disease already. We should be careful around that. I have no problem with that at all. But if we are 40 years old or younger, the chance of dying from this is almost zero.
And it's also pretty low if you are older than 40. I mean, unless you are sick already, then your chances of dying for this are very, very low. From what I've seen, from the government's own numbers that they have been providing here.
Right. I can't tell you, it's difficult to say sort of what the pre-existing conditions are and that kind of thing. They list hypertension, which I have hypertension, but you know, what it seems to require is a bunch of these pre-existing conditions. We can use age as a stand-in because 80-year-olds tend not to be healthy. Yeah, it's a safe bet. Mm. So I would be curious as to what the numbers are. Yeah, I do want to know what my age segment is. I want to know what the 25 to 54-year-olds are as far as their death rate in contracting COVID-19. And
18, yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's hard to find those numbers.
Yeah, okay, 18 and younger is almost impossible to die or even get some kind of morbidity from it. Almost impossible. These are just from studies I've read.
Yeah, but now, NPR will trot out these stories about these three kids that got these weird illnesses that are somehow related.
Yes. And they were dying of cancer, probably on chemotherapy, but they won't talk about that.
No. James, okay, so anything else? Go ahead.
UCI and Stanford studies from this year place the mortality rate at 0.2%. That is 20 times less than what Fauci was preaching from the very start. They told us it was 4% kill rate.
Mm, lies.
It's 0.2%. Yeah. Okay, so I'll let you
and not even everywhere is that high. We've seen 2% of 1%, which is even less than 0.2%. But either way, we're still talking about a fairly insignificant number of people. Hey, thank you, James, for your call tonight. I definitely appreciate it. Nice to have a different James calling from Arizona for the first time ever. We'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
All right. It's another edition of the Edgington Post Show. I am Mark Edge coming to you for Free Talk Live. And today I have with me a friend of mine, Ben Powell. Are you there,
hey,
Ben?
Mark. Hey. Good to be with you, buddy.
Thank you. Okay, so now I have to give your pedigree, right? You are a professor at Texas Tech University, and you direct the Free Market Institute. Sound right?
That's right. It's great to be in West Texas doing that.
In my opinion, one of the premier economists in the nation and world, and that's why people should listen to this particular conversation about national debt. But in order to cement this, you've been on television, radio many, many, many times with all kinds of different organizations having to do with your books. I believe the most recent one is An Ode to Alcoholism as You Drink Your Way Through the World and How That Affects the Economy.
It was a hell of a project. It was Socialism Sucks, Two Economists Drink Their Way Through the Unfree World. Kind of Anthony Bourdain meets Milton Friedman style book.
And it's glorious. I mean, just totally worth picking up over at Amazon. If you have not, if you haven't heard of this, take my recommendation. It is well worth the time and energy. Can you rattle off some other books for me so that, because this is the one that sticks in my mind, but again, probably not your most academic work.
Definitely not the most academic, but definitely the one where I combine my hobby and my economics the most. Out of Poverty, Sweatshops and the Global Economy is out, and the new one that I just finished, it's not released yet, is called Wretched Refuge, The Political Economy of Immigration and Institutions.
Will you?
Kind of a mouthful. Socialism Sucks rolls off the tongue way easier.
Will you please contact me regarding that new book when it's out so that we can do an interview regarding that too?
Absolutely. First of the year.
And I would like my copy signed to my friend, Mark Edge, Ben Powell.
I'm happy to kill its resale value for you.
Thank you. So, Let's get into it. Something that I have talked about on the air a great deal. It's a cudgel of demagoguery, and I do not mind using it. I have some questions, and I'd like to ask those questions of an economist and do it in a wide open forum so that people can know where I'm being a demagogue and where I'm actually talking about the truth. So when George Bush took office, the national debt was $5 trillion. When Obama took office 8 years later, the national debt was $10 trillion. These are round numbers. When Trump took office 8 years later, the national debt was $20 trillion. And I have predicted that the national debt will be, I'm guessing, $40 trillion. I'm willing to say over $30 trillion at the end of 8 years, presuming, I don't know how things are going to go, whether Trump gets reelected or not. I wouldn't care to speculate. We are now at $26 trillion and climbing fast right now. The debt went up greatly during this COVID thing, and now people are talking about extra spending that's going to help people based on, whatever their economic status is, whatever the situation is. Spending is sky high. Debt is going up. How important is this?
I think it's hugely important, Mark. And you'll be surprised and maybe not pleased to know that Mark Edge and the International Monetary Fund agree. the latest prediction I saw out of the IMF was not by the end of 8 years of Trump potentially, but by the end of this year, they're forecasting that the debt to GDP ratio in the United States will be 131%. Mm. So 131% debt relative to the size of our economy. This is massive. I mean, just a year ago, 2019, it was still bad, but 109%. Part of this, of course, is an economic contraction, but a lot of it's this explosive spending that we're seeing that really has little to do with the crisis, a whole bunch of it. And a lot of it's a bad idea anyway. But this is going to be a drag on our economy for years to come, if not a crisis.
So it is a big problem. Now, Milton Friedman said something to the effect that at least one quote I heard one time was basically like, debt, schmet, who cares? It's not that big of a deal. Can you tell me the context of that quote or if he's just wrong?
Well, it depends what the level of the debt was and what your overall economy looks like. And of course, Milton Friedman hasn't been with us for more than a decade. And you just talked about how those numbers exploded since then. When you think about debt as a proportion of the economy, if the economy is growing strong, it's easier for the government to pay it back. When you're getting up to 131% of GDP, that's an awful lot to pay back and require an awful lot of growth. And while the economy was strong before this COVID crisis, I don't expect an immediate bounce back afterwards. I think it'd be really hard to grow at a rate that will trivialize this. Instead, what I think is scary is how the government might deal with it. I mean, we're at looking at World War II levels of debt relative to the size of our economy. And after World War II, what we saw was levels of financial oppression in order to help manage the interest on it, where the Fed and the Treasury coordinate to soak up some of the government bonds, but also where they put regulations in that basically encourage or force private parties to own more government debt in order to help keep the interest rates down. And we could see them doing stuff like that. I don't think we'll see the type of inflation that would make it go away. I think to some extent, governments have learned a little bit of their lesson about inflation in the post-war years, but also just the way modern debt is handled and so much is indexed to inflation, it makes it a lot harder to simply inflate it away the way they did in the past.
Right. I mean, in World War II, they told people to buy war bonds, and then that was a loan to the United States government. They don't do that anymore. I haven't seen an ad for bonds in years and years and years, and it's because of the decoupling of the dollar from gold and silver. They don't need us to lend them money, but it also changes the whole landscape, making this completely unprecedented. These are unprecedented levels of debt in so much as the monetary system has changed dramatically since 1945, and we really can't say what this is going to do. It can't, but I got this. Here's my prediction. It ain't good.
I'm with you there that it ain't good. I mean, the options, right, when when debt gets big, like either they have to drastically cut spending, drastically raise taxes. But honestly, you know, eventually you're squeezing a rock here trying to get blood out of it. Because if you raise tax levels to even higher rates, they don't get as much revenue as economic activity contracts. So I don't think you're going to see them be able to pay this off with tax increases. You know, you hope that you can put in good deregulatory policies, some of which the current administration was doing prior to this crisis, that helps the economy grow faster, which grows your tax base and helps pay it off. But honestly, the political will from any party, either party, I don't think sees constraining spending as one of their goals.
I think if the economy takes
off a little bit, I think they'll just spend more money.
This seems like a problem with human nature. So the Keynesian economic theory, and Richard Nixon is quoted, you know, back in 1970 or something like that, as having said, we're all Keynesians now, meaning I think that we're all Keynesians because the government is Keynesian now, and that's the economic policy they're following. However, they're not. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to besmirch old Maynard and his theory, because, you know, the United States government isn't even following that. The theory is that in times of plenty, the government contracts its spending and pulls back and pays debt and does all these things. In times of want, the government spends and spends and spends. Now, I can make all the argument in the world against the spending aspect of it, but let's leave that on the table for a second and just go for the contracting part. They don't do it. They don't see the economy as ever being good enough to pay their debts. They're always expecting, they think that the spending thing can always work, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, prior to Keynes, so first of all, I'm not a Keynesian now,
no.
And I'm sure you're not either, Mark. But taking on
I'm a Paulian.
God, you're the one, huh?
Here I am.
You know, what happened was what they call the old fiscal religion, kind of a government balancing its budget over time, went away with Keynesian economics. But when the politicians who say that they want to implement Keynesianism, you're absolutely right. They don't lower spending when times are good. It's a bad way to manage your macroeconomy anyway. But be that as it may, the political incentives never align to do that. The political incentives tell those in office now to spend now because it's popular, kick the payments down the road as much as you can, because you know what? You're not going to be the one who suffers the consequences later. And that's the type of reckless behavior we see out of both parties. It doesn't matter. Big government Bush, big government Obama, big spender Trump. They're all guilty of this. It's more a matter of which interest groups get the handouts rather than what the total spending is.
Do you have a solution for us? I mean, as outlandish as it seems that the United States government is going to listen to you or I, get a solution?
Well, in terms of the current situation, stop spending and trying to stimulate. You can't stimulate an economy that you've ordered shut down. Instead, take your jackboot off our throats and allow people to go about normal economic activity and open up things in this country. That'll get you on a path started forward. It doesn't solve the debt problem that's been done, but it'll at least allow us to start recovering. Although COVID's still here and people are still going to have contracted economic activity, even without government rules. So it's not going to be a real fast bounce back.
How can people find out more from you? Where do you put your blogs? All that good stuff.
The Free Market Institute at Texas Tech is fmi.ttu.edu. Or you can Google Socialism Sucks and find it on Amazon. And that's a better way to hang out with me for a couple of beers.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.